This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. Joining us today to grade the Browns 2014 NFL Draft is our good buddy Dan Shonka from the Arlad Scouting Service. Dan, first of all, have you been able to catch your breath and relax a little bit now that the draft is over, or are you still going 100 miles an hour?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been told we go 100 and, miles an hour with gusts up to 150, but we've geared it down a little bit, Kenny. And one thing that's fun right now is just kicking back and watching tape at a leisurely level for the 2015 draft, believe it or not.
So you guys have already started on next year's, as I call it, the Bible, getting things ready, the ball roll.
Right. We like to look at the guys as juniors and get a feel for them heading into the fall. And then if any sophomore happens to jump out at us, then we'll take a few notes there in case they do come out. Then we'll look at them in the fall and everything. But basically right now we're looking at the juniors that will be seniors next year.
That's why you guys are the best, Dan, and that's why we always enjoy talking with you. All right, let's look back, though, at 2014. It just happened. Ray Farmer in his first go-round as the general manager of the Browns. His first pick was to move down from 4 to number 9 and then trade back up to 8 and take Justin Gilbert. Let's talk about that pick, first of all, and then we'll get to the number 1 pick he picked up for next year.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think that the thing is, I mean, you could look at it a lot of different ways, but it made sense in regards to getting a pick for next year and then getting our top corner in the draft, Justin Gilbert, at that pick. I mean, you know, it's arguable you could have gone different directions. You know, we liked an offensive lineman there, but the way it turns out, Ray Farmer drafted Joel Bitonio in the second round, which kind of fills the need, what we thought would be a pick 4 originally. So moving down, then you get the, I mean, I know a lot of people like the idea of maybe getting Watkins in there and things at 4, but I think with the getting the pick for next year and then go ahead getting Justin Gilbert to match up with Hayden, you got to have 2 corners and 3 corners actually in this league, and drafting Gilbert was a big jump in the right direction.
All right, they come back up into the first round after sitting there at 26 from the Trent Richardson trade, and everybody wondering, are they going to take a quarterback? Are they going to go get Johnny Football? They tried supposedly at 11, maybe at 16. It didn't happen, and then finally they move up to number 22 and pull the trigger on drafting Johnny Manziel. Your thoughts on how they maneuvered their way back into the first round and your thoughts on Johnny Manziel with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I guess the number one thing, Kenny, that Johnny Manziel brings the Browns, he energizes a fan base that God knows deserves a winner. And the great fans of Cleveland, I think that the excitement that Johnny brings to the Cleveland organization is a shot in the arm, and I know that the Cleveland fans have been down that road before, and hopefully this will be the guy that can lead Cleveland to a division championship and further. So, you know, he's a rookie, and he's got a lot to learn, but I tell you, I think where they got him, now, I would have probably argued against that pick at 4, and even 9, Kenny, as you know, but taking him down a little bit later like that, getting him at 22, moving back up from 26 to 22, then, you know, it made sense. Right in that area is where we had him graded.
So when you look at what they did in the first round, Dan, Justin Gilbert, number one corner on your board, Johnny Manziel, I think, was the number one quarterback on your guys' board, right? And getting Buffalo's first-round pick next year, how good did Ray Farmer do in day one?
Boy, I tell you, you can't argue. I mean, we have to give him an A-plus because, I mean, you got the big-time corner and return guy if he wants to do that. But I'm sure when he's a corner, they're going to just keep him out there on the island and not return kicks. But, I mean, he's a big-time kick returner. And then you get Manziel, a energizing force for the whole organization. So I think you got to give that first round, you got to give Ray Farr and the first pick, they're another number one for next year. So I think that you got to give Ray Farmer an A.
You mentioned the guy they took in the second round already, Joel Bitonio, the offensive guard from Nevada. You like that pick. What is it that you like about him, and is he a plug-and-play guy right now? Is he a starter at guard for the Browns?
Absolutely. Now, I'll tell you, I don't know what the Browns are going to do with him for sure, if they're going to start him at tackle and then kick in Schwartz to guard, or if they're going to put Bitonio in the guard, because this guy is a tough, physical, focused, mean, ornery football player that, I mean, you could throw on films against Florida State, and this guy wore out the defensive ends of Florida State when Nevada played him this year. And then also he had a heck of a battle against Anthony Barr, who we think was the best pass rusher right after Clowney in this draft. So he can play on the edge. He doesn't quite have that length that you'd probably like to have, but you could get by with him as a tackle, or certainly a right tackle. But I'll tell you what, I think he'll be a future Pro Bowl guard.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to move him inside at guard, at least from the rookie minicamps and the early OTAs. That's where he's slated, but time could change that. We'll have to wait and see. So through the first two rounds, it sounds like, Dan Shonka, that you and everybody there at Our Lads like what the Browns did. Then we get into rounds three and four, and that's where it ended for them, because they traded a lot of their other picks that they had. They had 10 to begin with. They ended up using 6. This is the first real question mark that I had with the Cleveland Browns when they selected Christian Kirksey, the outside linebacker, with their first pick in the third round, when they sorely needed a wide receiver, and there were still some on the board there. So do you agree with the way they approached it in not taking a wide receiver at all in the draft? Or do you think maybe with a pick of the two that they had in the third round, they should have went after a wide receiver?
Kenny, I think that they could have easily went after a receiver with that first third round pick, 71. I think that, the need, especially when they had the heads up that Josh Gordon may not be around. They knew that, 2 weeks before the draft. But, hey, that's water over the bridge right now. I think that, you know, I would have went with the receiver. But one thing I will say is Christian Kirksey is probably the best cover linebacker in this draft, a guy that can stay on the field. I should say he's a hybrid linebacker, a guy that's got safety experience, can play outside linebacker, is one of the best linebackers in this draft in coverage. So he's not a washout by any stretch of the imagination. He's a very good athlete, makes plays, and really good in coverage. So I think that, you know, that was a need that anymore, Kenny. I'll tell you, you need so many coverage guys back there, especially at linebacker. They play a lot in the three safety packages. So I think that's what Ray Farmer was thinking, that, hey, this is the top guy on our board. He might have been, you know, ahead of any receiver that they had on the board at that time. And so they pulled the trigger on Kirksey instead of going to receiver, despite, you know, I think that was a major need, but they might have come back and if Miles Austin and some of those guys, receivers they brought in, can play, that's going to make up for that third-round decision.
What about the running back that they took in the third round at number 94, Terrence West from Towson? How much do you like him, Dan?
A whole lot. I'm a big back guy, Kenny. I mean, I love those big backs, especially in Cleveland, especially in that division. And as you probably have heard, Baltimore wanted him in the worst way, was trying to make a move up to get him ahead of Cleveland. Didn't get it done because he's right there. Towns are right outside of Baltimore. And so they saw him a bunch, and they really wanted him. And they end up going with a kid named Talaferro after that, who's another good-sized running back. But West is we saw him play probably, Kenny, I'm going to say 7 times at minimum this year. And, I mean, teams would throw up eight-man fronts against him, and, I mean, he would bust right through them. He squares those shoulders, gets it downhill, drops that shoulder, runs through a tackler. Very powerful guy, very strong in the hips and legs. You know, he's not a breakaway threat, but I'll tell you, he's one of those hammers. They can get you, you know, that 3.4 yards a carry three times in a row for a first down, and that's what you need late in the game.
What about playing at a small school and making the jump to the NFL? Do you think that will be a factor for Terrence West?
Oh, he'll have to adjust, but he's a strong guy. I mean, like I said, he was looking at eight-man fronts with the safeties squirmed up, even, you know, because they knew he was going to get the ball. I mean, there's no question that Townsend, if you play Townsend this year, you knew who was getting the ball, and he would hammer right through that. Now, that's not the NFL. But, you know, he's a guy that can get you that 15, 17 carries a game, because I'm sure Cleveland, like everybody else, going to rotate those backs in there. But he's a durable guy. He's a strong guy. And I think that, you know, he can be that powerful running back that you need in that division.
Dan Shunk is our guest from the RLADS Scouting Service. Check him out at rlads.com. All right, Dan. In the fourth round, they ended up selecting Pierre Desir, a cornerback from Lindenwood, with the 127th pick. I remember seeing a story about him before the draft, and this is a long kid with great athletic ability, but again, coming from a smaller school, was this a diamond in the rough pick for Ray Farmer and the Browns?
Yeah, I think so. He's, like you said, he's a long corner, and like we talked about earlier, you can't get enough corners. A lot of times you got four corners on the field, and if you can't get that package in there, a guy like Kirksey, you need to be able to play in coverage too if he's out there as a linebacker in a sub package. But Desir is it's all ahead of him. Played a Division II school. He just got better all through the East-West practices when he was on the team there this year. Then he got the call up, I guess you'd say, the Senior Bowl, and he got better every day there. And he just has to get work against big-time receivers and be able to work on coverage skills and things like that. But he has all the raw tools. I mean, this guy, he's got long arms. I mean, he can play press. He can play off. He just needs the work, Kenny. I mean, he's a very talented guy that just simply needs to get out there and play.
So when you look at the overall draft for the Browns, six picks, two in the first round, got what they think is their franchise quarterback, the best cornerback in the draft. How do you grade Ray Farmer's overall draft in his first year, Dan Shunk?
Kenny, I can do nothing, but if we were going to, and as you know, when our draft review comes out here in the middle of June, we don't put letter grades on, but if we did, we'd have to give him an A because, I mean, by our grades, when we graded these guys, he hit the jackpot, you know, all these guys by level that where we had them graded, and so we can't do anything but that. So, and as we all know, the proof's in the pudding 3 years down the line to see if these guys step up and play like they were graded. But on the surface, it was a jackpot.
With that in mind, it sounds great. You guys like it. Did they or are they going to regret not taking Sammy Watkins at four to be that receiver for Manziel to have down the road, or are you okay with the way they handled things?
You'd love to have that, you know, big-time wide receiver, especially with the Gordon situation the way it is. And, you know, and that's questionable. But if you can – now, the West Coast offense was developed where you didn't have to have those big-time receivers. If you got them, that's great. But, guys, you know, that Bill Walsh developed that for guys like a Manziel who can throw those slant patterns in there with those veteran receivers that are there, they may not be number one receivers, but the biggest thing is, and we saw, hey, Braylon Edwards, he was the number one coming out and all that. He couldn't catch. He dropped too many balls. So if these guys that are there can catch the ball, that is the key thing, and then run after catch. So only time will tell if they can step up and these quarterbacks, whether it's Hoyer, whether it's Manziel, get that ball in there to them, they can catch it, get the field and not drop a deep pass that could help win a game and a touch, with a touchdown or what have you. That's the only way we'll tell. I mean, it'd been great to have Watkins, but that's the way it goes right now. I think that got somebody to defend Watkins.
All right, last thing before we let you go, Dan. Compare the Browns draft to the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Ravens this year. Did the Browns stand up to what Ozzie did and Kevin Colbert and Mike Brown did in Cincinnati?
Well, I'll tell you what. We thought Cincinnati, we would have given Cincinnati, if we were grading them, probably a B-plus grade. Thought they did some good things. We thought that that Baltimore was that A-minus, B-plus, right in that category. And I thought Pittsburgh also was in that category, say a B-plus, A-minus area. So I think that there was no... I think you could say Cleveland took a step up. They didn't take a step back, but in a division that's very tough and it's consistently a good drafting teams like a Baltimore and a Pittsburgh, and then the last 5 years, Cincinnati's been outstanding. I think Cleveland stood right there toe-to-toe with all three of those teams.
Dan, we always appreciate the insight. How can people get more information from you guys? Post-draft and getting ready already for next year.
Kenny, the fans can go to ourlads.com and order online or give us a phone call at 1-800-PRO-DRAFT, and we'll have our draft review after the OTAs and seeing how these guys fit into the different teams and the way they're going to be using things. That would be included in that post-draft review, and then we'll be sending that out, like I said, in the middle of June.
We look forward to it, Dan. Thanks so much for always making time for us.
Thank you so much, Kenny. Great being with you.
Hope you enjoyed the Roto Report with Dan Shonka from the Our Lads Scouting Service, and it was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444 or check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.